Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio on location. I'm in front of the Somerset Collection. Many of you think of that as a mall in Troy, Michigan, with a Michigan State Police Inspector. We're going to talk about family holiday safety. I still remember my mother saying to be extra careful during the holidays. What did she mean? To discuss holiday family safety, I have Michigan State Inspector Chad Schmidt with me. I'm actually sitting in your vehicle right here.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you so much for agreeing to be a part of this very, very important topic.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I appreciate you having me.
Let's take a pause here before we start, and I'm going to have a word of prayer. Our great Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that you love us and care for us. You care for every child, whether that be an adult or a teenager or a child. You care about everyone. And we need to all be guardians, to be looking out. We are our brother's keeper. Be with us as we have this discussion. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Inspector Chad, I opened with my mother's warning. A mother's warning should be taken serious.
Yes, sir. Yep.
But I think that family safety has kind of two risks. We have a risk of traveling, and we have risks of large events. We're going to places that we often don't travel in. To go first, I think of the times many families, either before or for Thanksgiving, they travel long distances. Sometimes Thanksgiving is the most concentrated traffic time of the year. That holiday is all funneled down into about 4 days or such. And to get there, we have to go on highways and stuff. We're going to unfamiliar places. Sometimes there's rest stops. And I think about some of those rest stops that I've traveled. If you're in northern Michigan after midnight, traffic kind of drops off. But when you get into Florida, it's just everybody's trying to get to the beach before 10 a.m. And it's nonstop 24/7. Would you tell our listeners about what precautions that people need to take? Is their family at higher risk during a holiday time? And if so, what precautions should they take?
Yeah, holiday times can be a busy time for human trafficking. When families are traveling, it's important that you keep tabs on where you're at and your surroundings and who's around you.
And with your children.
And with your children, especially, for sure. One of the big misconceptions when it comes to human trafficking is that there needs to be that dynamic kidnapping or the snatch and grab event that would kind of spiral somebody into the world of human trafficking, and that happens in parking lots or rest areas, truck stops. When we're finding that's not necessarily the case, but it is obviously very important to keep your head on a swivel, so to speak, and make sure that you're aware of your surroundings and who's around you.
Absolutely. And even though this is a smaller aspect of it, what precautions, we've raised the topic, so now we got to close it, right? What precautions should individual, you're with the motor vehicle, commercial vehicle division of the Michigan State Police, so your detachment supervises rest stops in the public roads quite a bit.
I wouldn't say we supervise. We're not part of MDOT, which actually administers the rest areas, but our mission primarily takes us onto the highways where that commercial vehicle traffic is, which does take us into rest stops and truck stops sometimes. Our mission being out on the highway does take us into rest areas.
With that in mind, and thank you for that correction, what should families, you've been traveling down the road for hours after hours, that break is the kids are ready to get out mm-hmm. and to run around, and what level of supervision should they have while they're in a rest stop?
We're doing the rest stop. Just you need to make sure that you're keeping tabs of their location at all times. Make sure that you know where they're at and who, and more importantly, also who is around them that you don't know. Always want to keep an eye out for somebody who might be suspiciously, you know, loitering close to your family. Maybe following them, maybe trying to watch them, maybe trying to take pictures with their phone, things like that. Anybody who just looks suspicious or might make those hairs on the back of your neck stand up, definitely want to make sure you're paying more attention to them.
Your intuitions follow them.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also being on the lookout for passenger vehicles, cars that don't look like they belong in the truck lot, that kind of thing, can be an indicator that something's not right. Somebody who looks like they don't belong in a truck stop could be an indicator that something's not right.
And Inspector Schmidt, let's move beyond just our family. But one reason why your division, the commercial vehicle division, is tasked with it is that human trafficking is transported or takes place through that particular area. So you are the face or the educational face of the Michigan State Police.
That's right. For my division, the Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Division, we've partnered with a nonprofit called TAT, Truckers Against Trafficking. They're an international organization that does a lot of good work when it comes to spreading awareness, not just in the trucking and busing industries. They've spread into more sectors than just the transportation industry. We partnered with them, and our main mission as CVED, as we call it, is to promote that awareness in the trucking and busing industries, and really any industry that will listen to what we have to say. But that is our main primary mission as motor carrier officers, investigators, sergeants, lieutenants, all the way up to our captain, is to promote that information, just so people will be more aware of what human trafficking is, what it looks like, and what they can do to help prevent it.
Yeah, you mentioned what it looks like. What does it look like? You're in a rest stop, and what is it that might be something? This is not protecting your family directly, but watching out for other people.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the trends that I think we're seeing shifting in human trafficking is that we're seeing less of the actual trafficking and quote unquote solicitation happening in truck stops and rest areas.
I mean, there was a time when a rest stop, there was a close association.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
There's so it's moving away from that.
It is. There's some derogatory terms that people are pretty commonly aware of when it comes to possibly a prostitute, or called a prostitute, or somebody who is a victim and is trapped in the lifestyle of human trafficking. It's not to say that it definitely does not happen anymore, because I know it. I'm sure it does.
It'll always be there.
If there's ever a demand, there's always going to be they're going to meet that demand, and that's one of the things that human trafficking is not necessarily addressed as strongly or prevalently as the actual demand side, as so much as the solicitation and actual supply side, which is a problem. But in truck stops and rest areas, if you're a family in a rest area, as I mentioned before, you want to look for those vehicles that maybe are there longer than they should be. In a truck lot, look for vehicles that don't belong there.
Instead of having a large vehicle for transporting of products and stuff, you have a passenger vehicles.
Passenger vehicle that you wouldn't, that's not a commercial vehicle, that's not a truck, that's not an 18-wheeler, but more of just a passenger car, a four-door sedan, whatever it might be, SUV. Sometimes if you see those types of vehicles in the truck lot, a lot of times if they are there to solicit, the actual victim, the actual human trafficking victim, will be there with somebody who is their manager. And, a lot of times people are familiar with what those terms are for the manager of the trafficking victim. But a lot of times if you see that, it could be an indicator. If you actually see somebody going door to door, truck to truck, knocking on doors, offering their services, obviously is a red flag that should you know make those alarms go off in your head.
And what about a vehicle that has a lot of people get out of it? I mean, that's going to happen at holidays too.
But. Yeah, yeah. I mean, not that I know of. I think if the solicitation were happening at a truck stop, I don't think you're going to see a large group of trafficking victims kind of canvassing the parking lot, because that's something that would bring up more attention to what was going on. I think more than likely you're going to see one, maybe two people kind of going door to door. And when I say people, I'm not saying girls, I'm not saying women, I'm saying anybody, because the demographic for human trafficking really, really can be anybody. There's a market for everybody, so to speak, unfortunately. But yeah, door-to-door solicitation in a parking lot is definitely something that you can would say what's going on there, you know, raise those alarms in your brain.
Could there be transporting of people that are being human trafficking that happens a stop and a rest stop? That's what I was thinking of.
Could be for sure. One of the elements of human trafficking is not actually transportation. That's one of the big misconceptions, is that people think that trafficking and smuggling are synonymous, when they really are not. Smuggling is just a transactional transport somebody from point A to point B, typically internationally. And once that destination is reached, they've made their delivery. That transaction is done. That's more commonly what smuggling is. Human trafficking is normally a relational, long-term commitment, a long-term endeavor, so to speak, where somebody is trafficked over and over, not necessarily being transported. Mm-hmm. Sometimes trafficked right out of their own homes.
Yes, yes. Just while we're talking about holidays and stuff, malls, plazas, Black Friday, Holiday on Ice, symphony concerts in a large city, zoos, Henry Ford Museum, Meyer Garden, Doll Garden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any risks, anything that parents should be careful or?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you have large groups of people where there's, you know, the possibility of distraction. You know, if you're walking through the mall with your kid, you know, they want to stop at every store they want to stop on at, but you have a mission you're on, to get your shopping done. It's likely that they may wander off. And obviously you need to make sure that you're keeping an eye on them. Again, like I mentioned, make sure that you're keeping an eye on the people in your surroundings. Head on a swivel is a term that's used pretty often to make sure that you are not looking just straight in front of you, but around you and aware of your surroundings.
And don't let the kids run off.
Don't let them run off. Try to keep tabs on them.
As much as possible.
As much as possible. I have kids. I've had young kids. I understand that it's chaotic shopping, and especially at a time like, you know, the holidays, Christmas time, Black Friday.
Especially if you're supposed to be buying a gift for the person that's supposed to be watching.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's definitely difficult to go shopping with them. If you can, if you do need to separate, try to make sure that you've got a responsible guardian or adult.
Or the kids go in groups.
Groups definitely help. Just trying not to let them go off on their own, for sure. You know, it's easier to try to entice somebody. And again, like I mentioned, it's not necessarily the risk can always is definitely there. But when it comes to human trafficking, more so the risk is of them meeting somebody who tells them they are who they're not. They will try to meet the child and form some sort of bond with them. Some sort of relationship, gain their trust. Possibly eventually enter into a romantic relationship, and it will entice them into some sort of lifestyle that would be better than where they're at, whether that's through gifts, whether it's a better living situation, nice cars, being able to buy them nice things, that kind of thing.
So this is the 70, the 80-20.
And the statistics are very difficult when it comes to tracking human trafficking and what the actual numbers are. It's hard to tell, but more commonly, we're seeing that trafficking victims have been tricked. They've been defrauded, and that's one of the elements of the law under Michigan law for human trafficking is there needs to be an element of force, fraud, or coercion to employ somebody in either a sex trade or a labor trade of some sort.
Now, listeners, I'm here with Inspector Chad Schmidt. He's with the Motor Carrier Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Division of the Michigan State Police. We're sitting right here at the Somerset Collection on Big Beaver Road in Troy, Michigan, to point out that almost the myth, it's not totally a myth, but it is a lesser concern. But during holidays, you always have to watch your kids wherever you're at. If you're in October, if you're getting apple cider and picking out pumpkins and stuff, wherever you're in a public today, you always have to have an eye on your children.
Yep.
But one of the things that we want to emphasize is the importance is that this is the biggest part of this is a long-term relationship that mm-hmm. you mentioned earlier mm-hmm. that was, you've heard the word grooming. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That somebody has built a relationship that can be over, and you can check out, listeners, we have multiple programs on dealing with human trafficking. You can listen to them. They're archived on strongtowerradio.org, audio archives, or easily str.fm is a redirect to the audio archives. You can listen to programs. We're producing these one a quarter at minimum, talking about different ways that this is a moving target, Inspector. Was the fingerprints or the MO, mode of operation, 10 years, 20 years ago is evolving, and just you can't be stagnant. It's a new target mm-hmm. regularly.
Yep. Yeah, very much so. Very, very, very different industry than it was back in the day. With the advent of social media plays such a huge role, and not just social media, but also like online games, dating sites, dating apps, Tinder, Grindr, those types of places. Website called Backpage. It's been a little bit of time since, but I believe the founder of that website was actually prosecuted and convicted in his either his complacency or his actual participation in human trafficking. Craigslist is one that's been used in the past.
That just seems, you're thinking about physical merchandise. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How does that mm-hmm. work?
Well, they will literally put ads up in these publications or in these websites for meats. They're not necessarily trying to be sneaky about it. They'll say male looking for male, female looking for female, male looking for female, whatever it is that they're looking for, what type of a meetup they're looking for, they post it, and they'll advertise it as companionship or.
It used to be under the table.
Very much so. Thankfully, we've seen the Backpage get taken down. I don't believe Craigslist is as prevalent anymore. But with that, when something falls off, there's going to be something new to pop up. And we're seeing that with Facebook, with Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat. There was online video games. There are free video games online that millions of people from age groups, very young all the way up to adults play. Roblox was one, if you're familiar with Roblox, something I know my kids play or have played in the past for sure. That's become a quick focus in human trafficking. So it really is, they really will take this crime to where it's most successful to reach as many people that they can try to ensnare.
Inspector Chad, will you speak to our parents? Mm-hmm. What can they do? What is the reasonable efforts? Oh, you talked about keep your eyes in public events mm-hmm. and such, but mm-hmm. it sounds like to me, from what you're sharing and what our other experts in the field have shared with us, mm-hmm. it's in your house, mm-hmm. it's on the devices. Mm-hmm. What rules, or you speak to a number yeah. of public groups, yeah. what are you telling people today?
The, you know, one of the most at-risk demographics when it comes to human trafficking is people who come from a not very stable family home life. Not every time, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, there anybody can be trafficked. But the biggest...
There's an emotional deficit?
Exactly. That's something that traffickers will absolutely use in their targets, is they will try to provide that emotional attachment, that emotional need that person is lacking. They will become that emotional source for them. And eventually they will use that to manipulate them into doing things that they don't necessarily want to do. And then you mentioned grooming. They will normalize sexualization to these people, pornography, multiple, sexual partners, and really, really downplay the value yeah. of having
intact
it's another conversation, but having that emotional source from a family member is so important. One of the biggest things that I can recommend to parents is to make sure that you're involved in your kid's life as best as you can be. Make sure you're aware of what types of programs they're watching, what types of social media that they use. Try to be aware if they have multiple accounts for social media. Most teenagers nowadays have Facebook, Instagram, have an account with all of them. But in each individual one, try to check to see if they have multiple accounts.
How does a parent navigate getting access of teenagers, privacy? How do you have transparency? How do you have a relationship? Mm-hmm. Do you explain, say, I would tell my kids, nobody loves you more than a good parent loves you.
Yeah, right.
And we are on your side. Mm-hmm. We are your other set mm-hmm. of eyes trying to protect you. You need to have somebody outside of you in order to mm-hmm. help do this. What are you telling parents?
I mean, one of the biggest things that I think you need, that parents should convey to their teenagers, is that they're on the same side.
Yeah. my wife would tell one of our children, I won't get too specific, we're not the enemy.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I guess that's the age old, that's the age old task for parents, but that, I think that is probably one of the biggest things that parents is that they can be involved and invested in their kids' lives.
Start with first maybe with their sports and their activities, not dropping them off at the mall.
Absolutely. I mean, just having a strong investment in your kids' lives from the beginning. Show that interest in what they're doing, participate, help them with it. Try not to just leave them to their own devices, because teenagers, they need guidance, whether they like it or not, from their parents. And build that trust with them that you truly do have, their best interests at heart, that you're not just trying to be, mom and dad, taking away stuff from, taking stuff away from them. But really show that interest in them, and be honest with them. Say, hey, there's a lot of people out there who try to, trick you. There's people out there who are not what they say they are. I love you, and I want you to be safe, and just very, very basic, strong, foundational stuff for parents and kids.
And I hear you saying is you know me, we're part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily know just because that person showed up on Snapchat or whatever platform doesn't mean that's who they are.
It doesn't for sure. They can be anybody, you know, despite what they say they are, they really can be anybody.
What, as we round out this interview, what words do you have to our listening audience?
The biggest thing is to be aware of what human trafficking is and what human trafficking isn't. I think everybody probably has some sort of experience with a friend on Facebook who posted something that said, I was in the store and I was walking out to the parking lot and this guy was following me and I was almost human traffic. He almost took me, and except the manager came out and, you know, scared me away. Weird things happen. People do weird things. People do scary things. But I think the biggest thing is to really understand what human trafficking is and what it looks like. And looking at...
It's closer to home than you think.
It very, very much so. It very much is... happening pretty much. I mean, it's probably safe to say it's happening in just about every county of the state, in one way or another. It really is a local problem, not just a that happens to those people or happens overseas or happens in other countries, states. It really is a local issue.
Absolutely. The one politician said all politics is local, and this is human trafficking is local.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
We're going to look forward to, we're going to do another interview. We've planned this out. Would you give a quick sketch of, we aren't going to give specifics, but the how close to home is. Can you give that, just flesh it out, because we only have about a minute left.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a personal story that involves my kids' elementary school.
Your children's elementary school. You're a state policeman, and it's in your neighborhood.
It is in my neighborhood, my family member's neighborhood. I have a family of a house that was taken down with human trafficking, literally a block over, in my hometown that I grew up in.
Yeah, so we're going to try to replicate that and just bring home. It's close to home. It may be a block away from your house.
Definitely.
And you don't know it. Inspector Chad Schmidt, thank you so much for bringing this very delicate, sensitive, but vital topic to our listening audience.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.
We look forward to recording another session with you. Give us the address of a place that you recommend, a website.
The Michigan State Police, CVED, we've partnered with TAT, formerly known as Truckers Against Trafficking. They're an international nonprofit organization dedicated to educating and fighting human trafficking. One of the best training resources I've ever used myself, is theirs. And that website is train.tatnonprofit.org. They have different training modules for different sectors, the best I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Again, for Strong Tower Radio on location at the Somerset Collection in Troy, Michigan, I'm Tom Mazur with Inspector Chad Schmidt. Until next time, God bless and be safe. Bye now.